And in fact, I don't even like to go to them anymore because they're so brutal. And it's because people are fighting over open space. They're fighting over their neighbor doing something. And I really believe that we're talking about a quality of life issue. And we're talking about our 2020 plan. So I would say that the bridge definitely supports our 2020 plan. I think it also supports our Crossroads of the World concept. We talked about the high cost of this, and I think that's it's a good issue. But as I look around the rest of the United States, we are the 49th state, and I look around the rest of the United States and see the infrastructure that has been built for them with public dollars, I say it definitely is not unfair for us to receive these monies, especially when the benefit is so great. The other thing is that we do have an asset, and that is the support in D.C. And I think that the timing is now because of that. I might go so far as to say that Anchorage might become a community that descends rather than ascends if you don't have the expansion. And right now, if a major industry wanted to come into Anchorage, I think they would have a very difficult time finding a place to build. And we have the C Street extension, but that's about the end of the new easy land for us to use. The comment was made about the difficulty of finding a school site, and what Mr. Stevens was talking about was that Kmart and a couple of other ones were the only ones that were left. I mean, it's very, very difficult to find a good commercial site in this town that's 10 acres in size. And Kmart was going, and I was involved in it. In fact, I was one that suggested it to the school district that this might be a good location. So I see the ability to get 10 acres, commercially speaking, very difficult. With new industry, I think we get something that we need, and that is for Anchorage is to try to get away from the dependence on having so much of our life created by government. We need more private industry here, and we, in order to have private industry, we need to expand. And I guess I would probably say that again, that I think it's irresponsible not to plan. I think that that there is a possibility in the short term that Anchorage may receive some decrease in their tax base or increased tax base, but it's a temporary thing, and it's up to us to go out and market Anchorage and market Alaska to bring the new industry to here. I'll tell you one experience that I had, and I'll digress a little bit. I was going over to Brussels, and I went out to the airport because I knew that we had lots of land out there, and my job, my idea was that while I was over there, I was going to meet with C.B. Richard Ellis International, which is a broker I work with here in Anchorage, and see if we couldn't get some foreign interest here. So I got my information from the airport, and then I said the terrible question, how am I going to get paid? And they looked around and said, gee, I don't know. So I went over there without any motivation to help. Now that has changed. I'm one of three brokers that the Heritage Land Bank has selected to act on their behalf, to act as commercial brokers using our brains to help the Heritage Land Bank, and I suggest that to other government entities, that we have some very talented people in this real estate community. And I would like to see that's a way that you could put them to work. I guess I would say, in closing, one thing, and that is that it goes by Government Hill. And I would ask that as we go forward, that those that are in Government Hill have some voice in the way that this is put together. As you can see, I strongly support it. My house is just south of, I'm underneath the Captain Cook statue. I look at the inlet. I've looked at it for 25 years. I've lived down there. And I've watched the ice going back and forth, and I feel like I have a pretty good handle on what the challenges are ahead. So I think I'll close with that, and if there's any questions that you might have, I'd be open to conversation.
Mr. Mayor, do you have any comments on his comments?
Well, I don't, Mr. Chairman. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill, for coming out. And the next one, do we have Billingston?
Billingston.
Yeah, please. Sydney? Identify yourself, who you represent, and...
Good morning, Senator. My name is Sydney Billingsley, and I am a resident of Anchorage. I live on Government Hill, and I appreciate the opportunity to have my comments heard before this committee. Everybody, I think, testifies according to their self-interest, and I'd like to think that my self-interest is a little bit enlightened, but I can represent to you that I have a personal bias. And I am testifying on behalf of my self-interest. As a Government Hill resident first, as a resident of Anchorage and a property taxpayer, a homeowner in Anchorage, and then as a born and raised Alaskan. And I was born here and I grew up on the Kenai Peninsula. I know Senator Wagner. And I can speak to the veracity of what he said. When he talked about the economic drain from Kenai. I saw Kenai dry up when the Cay Beach Bridge moved in. My first concern is property taxes. Unless you annex or you've got a master plan to annex the north part of the bridge, Anchorage isn't going to receive any benefits at all from the economic growth that's going to take place over there, but it's going to receive some of the detriment in that there will be more commuters coming in, more commuter load, more traffic load coming in through the downtown streets, and more parking will be necessary. We don't have a sales tax yet in Anchorage to draw off of those commuters for the lunches they buy or the products they buy in Anchorage, but that may be in our future, unfortunately. I noticed that there was a proposed future site of an airport. I don't know if that'll be a second airport or will become the primary airport for the Ted Stevens International Airport. The airport is a large contributor to the property tax base in the city of Anchorage, as the port of Anchorage is. Mr. Pease testified about the taking away business from the Port of Anchorage with the Port McKenzie growth. Business will be taken away from Anchorage because, by virtue of the cheap availability of cheap, abundant land with probably fewer growth restrictions than Anchorage. It'll make it an attractive target, certainly for places like UPS, FedEx, and so on, to move out there or to expand out there. We won't get a dime. We'll have the enhanced air traffic. We'll have the enhanced growth. We'll have the enhanced population coming in and using the facilities in Anchorage. But we won't get a dime from the growth. The next concern I have is, what exactly is the realistic projected maximum population growth for the state of Alaska. We have 650,000 more or less people in the state. The entire population of this state is smaller than a small suburb of Washington, D.C. Realistically, gentlemen, how big is Alaska going to get? Is it going to be a million people? I think Governor Hickel years ago said that Alaska probably wouldn't ever get more than a million people living in it. Where are they going to come from? What are they going to do when they get here? This is a resource-based state and a government-based state. Always has been, always will be. Now we're doing the air cargo industry, and we might become a hub state for that, but that's a limited population of people that are going to be handling cargo to ship it out throughout the world. Where are all the iron workers going to work, the imported iron workers? I don't think our population has enough iron workers to build this bridge, enough engineers to build this bridge. Maybe we do. We certainly have a lot. But they're going to get paid high wages to build iron on the bridge. And then what are they going to do? Work in the new Walmart in Houston for $7 an hour? You know, where are they going to go? What are they going to do? If they build their $200,000 house on their $50,000 4 acres of land in Houston, how are they going to support it once the bridge is built? And I don't have the answers to those questions. I haven't heard people say anything other than we're going to grow. We should dream about growth. We should plan for growth. We should expect growth. We want growth. But so far, nobody's said anything concrete about what that growth will be. I heard the talk about the truck travel going from across the bridge. If you have truck travel, it's going to compete with the railroad, which is a for-profit business. Right now, cargo comes into the port. It gets put on trains. It goes training up north. If there's a bridge, they can go onto trucks, or the containers can be offloaded on trucks, go straight across the bridge and hit north. That's going to increase the truck travel on the roads. It's going to increase the degradations of the highway, and it's going to compete directly with the railroad. So you're going to have some give and take.
If I could just interrupt, there is a plan, and there's funding for the railroad to come down to Port McKenzie from Wasilla.
Okay.
So that's being done. So
if the railroad comes down to Point McKenzie, then the cargo has to come across the water, or not. It can just come into Port McKenzie and skip the Anchorage port altogether, so the Anchorage port doesn't get that business.
I don't think they have the unloading facilities on that side at this time to handle them.
That'll be a good reason to have another growth project, though, to build those facilities and take them away from Anchorage. And I represented that I was talking as an Anchorage citizen, an Anchorage resident who's had her property taxes increase substantially over the years, especially this last year when the property value of my house went up about 20%. So I can foresee continued property tax increases without having other people contributing to spread the burdens. I heard about the tolls. I would reference the Whittier toll as an example of how tolls aren't paying their way. And then if people are aware of the Orange County Toll Authority, I understand that the Orange County Toll Authority is going broke. It's a population of millions of people in Orange County, but people are choosing not to pay the tolls. They're choosing to take alternate routes of travel and avoid the toll roads, even if they are more efficient and more effective, because the tolls, I think, one way are like $7 for a 6-mile stretch of road, and people are just choosing, because that's what it costs to actually pay for the road, and people are just choosing not to pay $14 a day to go to work. So think about how much that toll realistically has to be. before you can talk about it as a resource for payment. I think those are all of my comments, and I appreciate the time you've spent in having this committee.
I'd just like to comment. I've been here. I wasn't born here, but I came here when I was 20, and that's probably a little over 10 years ago. But anyway, I bought some property out on East 88th for $250. I've got a check that I paid. I couldn't imagine me having that much money at that time. But the point is, as development started, Anchorage was $35,000 that time. And this property has turned into industrial property. And I think that I might have sold it for $250,000. So that's the escalator. And the population, as you said, has changed in Anchorage considerably, probably 100% or around that since I've been here too. So anyway, I appreciate you coming and your views on things.
Thank you, sir.
Mayor Wirt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Please don't put me back to work again. I would like to comment. I have visited with the Orange County Toll Authority, and it is a complex of three roads. They do separate bookkeeping for each of the three, and it's true, as Ms. Billingsley said, Route 73 is not paying for itself. However, as you accumulate the three roads into one management plan, as they have, they are profitable. Route 73 is a brand new corridor through the foothills of southern Orange County. It is an extraordinary convenience, but it is expensive. I've driven it a couple times, and it costs money. My recollection, it cost me $350 because I was just driving a one way. But the point is, toll roads around the country do pretty well. And this one case that she said, Route 73, is not meeting its expectations. But when you put them with the other two roads that are part of the Orange County Toll Authority, it is clearly in the black and paying
sure.
for itself.
And things that I think this bridge will be an extraordinary convenience, but I also think it'll be extraordinarily expensive to pay for itself. And I think that the toll of $350 one way is going to be peanuts compared to how much it costs to pay for an $800 million bridge. So, and I don't have anything against, the reality, which is the government's going to support this bridge. The government's going to build it, and the government's going to support it. And that tolls are just going to be sort of a token. The question is, are people going to use it? Because Alaskans, and myself, I am an Alaskan, we're not used to paying for stuff. So,
that's all right.
We hear that every day.
And by God, I'm going to drive my four-wheel drive all the way around to avoid paying that damn toll.
Do you think the people living in Houston or on that side would drive all the way around rather than pay a
Well, nothing against the people in Houston, but I think they'd be the first to drive all the way around before they'd pay for the toll.
I have daughters who live up there, and she's been on me since I've been working.
They're an independent group of people.
But anyway, that's just...
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you. Thank you. I have Bob French.
Morning. My name is Bob French, and I'm an engineer who lives here in Anchorage, have lived here since 1983. I'm glad to have an opportunity to speak out during the early stages of this project because I'm afraid that the Kinnickarm Bridge is being pushed forward without any true cost-benefit analysis being done. We're even starting to find some of the clear answers to the complex questions that such a project presents. Hopefully the $6 million that has been put out in the omnibus spending bill will be able to start answering some of those questions. I'm concerned that the downsizing of the Kinnickarm Bridge project that was outlined in January is simply a desperate attempt to get some pilings in the water without even trying to complete the project. As we watch the federal budget spinning out of control, it's easy to see why our congressional delegates are looking at ways to control the cost of the bridge. The true costs, which could easily surpass $2 billion from the $1.88 billion that was often discussed. How did they propose to cut the cost of this bridge down to the half a billion dollars that Henry Springer outlined in January? The little picture that is here and that I've also seen on this screen here shows how. There's now a head out, little disembodied head floating out there in the flames that proclaims, pay no attention to the costs outside of the bridge. They've cut the bridge from 5 lanes with railroad tracks and connections through to Anchorage, all the way up to Willow and Houston, down to 2 lanes that connects only to Point McKenzie. Their own information clearly shows just a bridge to the Port McKenzie with nothing beyond that. Leave the headaches of how to get all the new traffic into Anchorage to future leaders. Leave the road, the rail, the power, the water, the sewer, not to mention in all the public and private infrastructure that is necessary on the Mat-Su side of the bridge to future visionaries. Well, they better have a pretty good crystal ball, because no one has even started to look to see whether or not the benefits will outweigh the costs. If the bridge is built, with some apologies to Ross Perot, it won't be long until Anchorage hears that giant sucking sound of people, jobs, businesses, and tax revenues being siphoned off to the Mat-Su borough. It has been reported that the ultimate and best location of the Anchorage airport is really on Point McKenzie. That could be true, but we had better start to figure out how to pay for services in Anchorage when that economic engine moves off to our neighbors to the north. Are there not many more useful projects that $1 or $2 billion could buy than one that may not even reduce the driving time for a typical commuter from Palmer or Wasilla? Mayor Wirtz and Mr. Springer talk about this bridge fulfilling a need 20 or 40 years into the future, and I suggest that we shouldn't go ahead with halfway planning now without making sure that we understand the full costs and the true planning needed to make sure that those future needs are met. To say that a 2-lane bridge with no connections on either end meets a 40-year need is just smoke and mirrors. Alaskans find ourselves in a unique position again, similar to where we were prior to the construction of the oil pipeline. We're faced with a project that will have tremendous impacts to the state and our local economies. If it is built, the construction costs alone are going to have a huge impact, similar to the time that is prior to the building of the oil pipeline. Alaskans have an opportunity, or indeed an obligation, to think about the potential impacts to our communities and to begin planning for them. I believe that a formal planning commission with meaningful public participation is necessary to look at those potential impacts, to analyze and to answer those complex and intertwined questions, and to make sure that Alaska is ready to meet the challenges that such a project raises. Let's not be fooled by a shell game of refusing to look at the entire cost of such a project into thinking that we could afford this project, that we need the project, or that it makes economic sense to build this project. I think that Alaskans need hard facts and honest answers to determine the true benefits and the true costs of this bridge. I hope that the legislature and a public planning commission will conduct the studies that thus far the Kinnick Arm and Bridge Toll Authority has not shown any inclination to make. Thanks for your time.
You're an engineer background?
I am.
Are you a bridge engineer or a structural engineer?
No, I'm a mechanical engineer.
Well, since I've been working on this, I've talked to several engineering firms to confirm the costs that we're talking about on this, who do this type of work. So both in Alaska firms and outside. So anyway, I appreciate your comments.
Yeah.
And if we have comments, and then we got one more person, I think, here. Dave Miller, is he here?
I think he's
in Juneau.
That's right. Appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I had the thing what I repeated, say insinuations that we are pushing a certain thing are certainly false. If that is the impression that our presentation gives, that's not so. We repeatedly stressed that all we're doing here is show some possible concepts, show what the enabling legislation directs the CABADA to do, and that we are starting with the process that is supposed to address and will address all those concerns that are laid out. And I'm sure you as an engineer know about the NEPA process that is exactly designed to do what you're saying, but to insinuate that we are involved in a smoke of mirror game here trying to push a project, if that is the impression, that certainly is completely false, because we are very, very much open-minded about the total aspects of that project, reaching from technical questions, environmental questions, regulatory questions, and the Federal Highway Administration as an oversight agency is obligated by law to make sure that we address all the possibilities and evaluate every scheme that possibly comes out and involve the public in a variety of predetermined participation processes to do exactly what you're saying. And so we haven't been in a vacuum. We started out in September, and DOT has done some of the basic work, and hopefully next week we are starting to advertise for RFPs to start that NEPA or pre-NEPA process. So I think over the next 2 years, maybe 3 years, depending how much of the previous material can be used, those answers are going to be clearly out there because the law demands it.
And I think I talked to Senator Stevens, Ted Stevens, when he was in Juneau addressing us, and also Don Young. They very much want to get this thing done. And it's a priority as well as others of them. And thank God we've got them people to get our share of the federal funds that are available. And I think they did a good job at that. So. Go ahead.
I appreciate Mr. Springer's comments. The real question I have is the difference between the purported cost of just the bridge alone versus the actual infrastructure that will be required on either end. And to say that the costs are less than $1 million for just a two-lane bridge, I think, is a fallacy when that cost doesn't look at any of the infrastructure on either side of the bridge that will be necessary in now and in the future.
Mr. French, did you hear the presentation at the beginning? I'm sorry.
I missed that. I'm sorry. No.
Because I think we tried to deal with some of that during the presentation. May I encourage you to look at our homepage, kinnickarmbridge.com. This same PowerPoint presentation is on that, along with a lot of other information, including the notice of RFPs starting Monday.
Thank you. Is there anyone else here to testify on this? Anyone? Please come forward, identify yourself, and
good morning, gentlemen. Ron Ward, Southwest Alaska Pilots, from Homer. We're licensed by the state of Alaska to safely conduct the navigation of vessels in and around the port of Anchorage and other areas, and unlike yourself, I'm a marine pilot, but we have a very vested interest. We're pro economic development, of course, and I'm really just here to thank the authority for keeping us informed and copying us on all the interesting developments in this project. We will have, we will look forward to working closely with them to address concerns for vessel traffic in the area. I do have one quick question. I was really impressed to see the port models the tabletop models that were developed in Virginia. And I see that you have filled in on either side for this one design concept, and I understand that it's just a concept. However, I was wondering if they had taken it to the point of actually, you know, constructing those fill abutments at the north end, and then, you know, assessing the impact on the water flow and the shoaling that occurs constantly. As you know, that's an ever-changing area. Have they done that yet, or?
Mr. Chairman, if I may respond, Ms. Ward, I'm really pleased you're here today because we learned very clearly when we visited Vicksburg Waterways Experimental Station that the Corps of Engineers puts as number one an overriding priority vessel handling characteristics whenever you're dealing with docks, and nothing we can do upstream will be allowed to adversely affect vessel handling, and that's interpreted as currents and eddies and what it does to ship handling. Secondly, the Corps of Engineers isn't terribly worried about siltation because we can dredge that out. So that takes you back to priority number one, which is the velocity and consistency of currents moving across a dock face. While we were there, they proved that this design that's shown on the artist's rendition here is not the optimum, that this dock face for the Port of Anchorage needs to be continued upstream all the way to Karn Point. And in the next iteration of this slide, that will be shown. On this side, the Point McKenzie dock, they've actually showed us that this is exactly in the wrong spot. It should have been down here, but that beside the point. It's here now. And the velocities across the face of that dock can reach 3 knots. As a pilot, I'm sure you could give us chapter and verse on what that means, and it's variable. We did discover that with the proper design of an upstream causeway, gravel-filled causeway, we can help the ship handling characteristics at Point McKenzie. Do we have that answer yet? The answer is no. But the good news is that there may be, and it's possible to have some very beneficial effects for the Point McKenzie dock, and clearly to avoid any adverse effects on the Port of Anchorage dock. But we're really pleased to have you here today, and we hope that you've got a business card we can keep in touch.
I think when I was in, just to add your comments, when I was in Vicksburg, this was a couple, I don't know, 3 years ago or so, that they also, with the scarring effect, and that's why they did the model, try to figure out what the scarring effect was going to have this, and of course on the shoals out there. I mean, with all of this, is all, and if you've never been to Vicksburg, it's a very enlightening. You know, they did the entire Mississippi Delta there in the 40s, late 40s. They built the whole Delta in a model there. So, anyways, very impressive.
Yeah, I would love to take advantage of that. It's very interesting. And as you say, the scouring effect, I mean, and the ice. The ice is another concern of ours. When you start filling in, what happens to the, right now, and obviously on your diagram, that's the projection of the expansion of the port anchorage. If you come inshore, of the darker area, you can see where the actual port is now, and we actually operate in what it is basically a back eddy behind Karn Point there, and we're fortunate in that once we cross the eddy fence, which the eddy fence right now is basically right where the projected dock face will be, we don't have anywhere near as much. We have 3/10 of a knot as opposed to 5 knots on the outside of the eddy fence. So this is all very interesting to us, and we appreciate your involving us in the process. We look forward to input in the future. And, you know, obviously that projected Port of Anchorage will be of concern to us you never really know, and you can model until the cows come home, if you excuse the expression, because when they dredge the port out there, dredge the shoal, they dump the spoils on the south side, and now, even though we're supposed to have a 36-foot channel, we got 30 feet on the entrance to the channel because of where the dredge spoils went, and because of what happened to them after the currents got done moving them around. So obviously you can dredge, but it may or may not last. And so.
Senator Wagner had his, and then
I just wanted to double check a figure. Mr. Ward would probably know. The tide only runs 3 knots on the face of the dock on the Matsu side. I would think it would run
more. It can run a lot more than that. Sure, it can.
No, the net up and down through the Forelands, so I know what that tide does, and that's very similar to the way the Forelands acts on water. On
it has changed, though, Senator. If you look right where it says Port McKenzie,
mm-hmm.
It used to be 30 feet there. And it shoaled up to 16 feet there in the last 2 years, 3 years. So it's changed the traffic pattern significantly, and it constantly changes, like I say. The Coast Guard put a buoy in there because of the shoaling, and the ice took it out in about a week. It wasn't there very long.
That's why they take it out of the mouth of the Kenai River every year and put it back in.
Didri?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a short remark on the modeling. We're working with the Corps right now because the previous two models which we showed, they were done for the ports. And so we're going to have a refined model in a different scale, more suitable scale, that shows the relationship between the bridge and the two ports and in a better setting. And we're trying to make plans after we are done down there with the scientific aspect of it, maybe to bring that model to Anchorage and have it in the Imaginarium or someplace where the public can see it, because it's really, really interesting. I've seen some stuff which you just wouldn't suspect what all goes on between the surface and the subsurface, and it would be very educational for students or anybody that has any interest. So we're looking if that can be done without too great a cost. That's what we're pursuing.
Well, thank you. Any more comments?
No more at this time. Thank you for the opportunity.
The last one, if David Miller, I think he's off or in Juneau. Does David? Do you have any comments?
No, not particularly. But if you have any questions for the federal perspective, I can answer those.
We had some concerns about federal. What's your thoughts on the availability of funds? Do you think that they're going to throw any funds in this without full studies and to meet the federal requirements? Do you think any money would be short of us doing what we're supposed to do, what they say we got to do?
You know, I can't speak for Congress, but I can say that in all likelihood, we'll be the lead federal agency for the NEPA document and the federal funding agency. We will be prohibited from going to construction until we complete the NEPA document and I sign the record of decision. So whether the funds are there or not, I mean, we all realize that we've got a long process to get to that point of design and construction.
Okay. Is there any other questions, Mr. Mayor, or that you would like to ask me?
If I may, Mr. Chairman, very pleased to report that Mr. Miller, in his capacity of the administrator of the Alaska region, had brought together some people to hold a one-day seminar on the NEPA process, and Mr. Springer and I and some of our board members from the Kinnickarn Bridge and Toll Authority attended that. Very informative, and as a consequence, we hope to hit the street very quickly to pull together a planning team to set forth the steps, the schedule, the cost to embark on the NEPA process, and hopefully we can award those contracts in the next 5 or 6 weeks. And while Mr. Miller was out of his office this week, we will be visiting with him very shortly. And Dave, good to have you back.
Thank you.
Is there any more comments? Anybody here would like to testify? Anybody online, any place would like to testify? I appreciate everybody coming out. It's a Saturday, but we're here for Juno. You came up here for this. This is where it's going to impact the most, and I appreciate the mayor and Henry here for being here and making a good presentation. And I appreciate everybody that was here. With that, we're adjourned.